listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Do you know how happy I am that we slept together?
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty. I can't stand it anymore.
Come on, girls. Let's go shopping.
I believe you were expecting me.
I'm not the one who's confused. You don't even know who you are.
Come out to your neighbors.
You are on Outtakes, your home of queer cinema here on Joy 94.9. Tonight on Outtakes, we are continuing a conversation and exploration of sexual harassment in cinema, especially now as we are seeing an emergence of Me Too films hitting our screens. One is the hotly anticipated Hollywood movie Bombshell, which is due to be released possibly in December of this year. Now, Bombshell is based on a true events of Fox News scandal that saw multiple women allege they'd been sexually harassed by former News CEO and chairman Roger Ailes. The trailer for Bombshell has dropped. We're going to play the trailer later tonight. I suggest you go and Google that on the internets. But it already hints at a highly star-studded cast, including Charlize Theron, Margot Robbie, Nicole Kidman, and as the film sets to focus on the sexual harassment that rocked that media empire in 2016. Another film is the new film, it was at MIFF, called Working Women, and it's going to be released later this month. And we have the opportunity, we'll be speaking with its filmmaker, Michal? Alan, I might need your help when I get around.
I'm
the phone.
Only guessing when I would say Michal Aviads.
Gorgeous film. So, Working Woman, it tells the story of Orna, a mother of three who returns to the workforce when her husband's new restaurant is failing. And, of course, it looks at sexual harassment in a way that is not something we've seen before. And I'm really looking forward to speaking to the filmmaker about that particular film. We'll also be revisiting an interview with Joanne Werner about the prevalence of sexual misconduct and harassment in the film industry, both nationally and abroad. Alan, it is a serious topic and a serious themed show. And it's us at the wheel.
It's us. It's just you, Gina, and me, Alan, today.
We've been left
to our own devices.
I did channel Daniel. And how did I go?
You know, and I'm so glad that you're here, Gina, when we're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace, seeing as though it affects so many women in this society.
It affects men as well, though.
It does, although I think, in Victoria they say that it's one in five women experience sexual harassment in the workplace. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, Gina, but I have experienced it in my younger years when I was young and pretty. And it was...
You're still pretty, Alan. If Daniel was here, he'd make a gag about your age. Highly inappropriate for the topic that we're talking about.
Of course. But, I just know how incredibly difficult... incredibly difficult minefield that was for me to navigate. Being in a position, a very young person, in a position of lack of power.
And I think the film Working Women, which we'll be looking at a little bit further later, is very great in its way that you go in knowing this is a film about a woman's experience of sexual harassment. So you're looking for the triggers. You're looking for those things that we say to victims, why didn't you walk away? Why didn't you deal with that sooner? And you're looking for those little red flags, those little alarm bells. And there are moments where you go, well, there's one and there's one and there's one. But you can see how in a real life situation, those really aren't alarm bells. They can all kind of, you can all kind of make sense of that and go, well, I can explain that. That was, me getting ready for something that needed me to do. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
We'll definitely talk about that later on. I've got my thoughts about that and my theories about that, yeah.
And I'm looking forward to hearing those, Alan.
I'm so glad.
But otherwise
it'd be a pretty dull show if you didn't want to listen to what I had to say.
It's Gina and Alan on Outtakes, yeah. So before we get heavy, we have to start light. And we are going to start light because we have something pretty amazing to give away. To give you a hint about the prize we're about to talk about tonight, I'm just going to give you a taste of a trailer to get you a little excited.
I'm sorry it's so late.
Miss Carl.
Oh, please. I'm Judy.
I'm very sorry, but your suite has been released.
What do you mean, released? Where exactly is it gone?
Your account was in arrears.
Clang, clang, clang with the trolley.
Mama, do
Please don't go to sleep now.
No, no, no. There's the other one. Zing,
zing, zing. The kids need a home, Judy.
I know what kids need. They need their mother.
You can't have the world's greatest entertainer out here without a drink.
Frank Sinatra's here.
Frank is great, but he is no Judy Garland.
I don't have a home. I can't even get a manager.
London would offer you a lot of money.
Talk of the town is desperate to do a deal with you.
You're saying I have to leave my children if I want to make enough money to be with my children?
I would very much like to stay.
Judy? Have you seen Judy?
There's an audience out there waiting to hear you sing.
My mouth dry and it could fall off.
Listen to me.
Judy!
I can't. You'll be fine. On you go.
What?
Room service.
I didn't order anything.
There's a man under the trolley. Surprise!
Ricky!
You're gonna love me.
The kids miss you, and they also want to stay put.
I'm coming back for them.
You're not listening.
I have someone I can rely on now.
I'm gonna love you.
Light.
So what? You have to be home for your mommy to put you to bed.
Are you going to be all right?
What if I can't do it again?
Mama? Mama, are you there?
Somewhere. You need to take better care of yourself. You understand? Over
the rainbow. Everybody has their troubles. And I've had mine. I just want what everybody wants. I just seem to have a harder time getting it.
Did you take anything for depression?
Four husbands. Didn't work. There's a
land that I... You won't forget me, will you?
Promise you won't.
You are on Outtakes and we are giving a prize away. We are giving... What are we giving away?
Well, if that trailer that wasn't a hint enough, we have got two double passes to give away to Judy Garland, the movie. And the Australian premiere of Judy, the movie, is on in Melbourne. And, you know, this is the legendary Judy Garland is portrayed by the iconic actress Renee Zellweger, who is also going to be attending to introduce a new film. So she's going to be on the red carpet.
Is this a double pass to that?
This is a double pass to the Australian premiere.
Are you kidding me?
Next week.
I just thought it was a double pass to just some random cinema.
This fabulous premiere is at the newly renovated Capitol Theatre on October 8th at 6 p.m. So that's next week. We have got two double passes to give away to the Australian premiere of Judy Garland, and Renee Zellweger is going to be there.
Stop it.
How exciting is that?
Okay, you're going to be messaging in to 0427JOY949. We've got two double passes to give away to that amazing prize. And I'm a little, like, I just thought they were just regular double passes.
Yeah.
And I made the question a little bit tricky.
Yeah, what are we going to make our listeners do?
Well,
what hoops will they have to jump through to get these tickets?
It's not going to be too hard. But I wanted to tie in with tonight's theme. Okay. So, yes, we are looking at sexual harassment in cinema because, as we know, there's going to be, as Daniel would say, proliferation. I can't even say
a plethora.
Of films that we know we're going to be seeing in the next couple of... Yes. A new canon of films, if this was Daniel.
new genre.
And should be looking at the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of thinking about a film for me that already kind of... And it's, you know, a lot of people may bag this film. But I look back to the film 9 to 5. And for me, that was the first...
That's one with Dolly Parton.
Lily Tomlin, and Jane.
And Jane Fonda, yeah.
And this classic film. And some people have debated whether this is a feminist film, which I think, yes, okay, it's tacky for its time. Mm-hmm. But I think it is actually a feminist film. And, you know, the transformative... You know, it looks at, you know, solidarity and sisterhood and women...
And sexual harassment in the workplace. Absolutely.
Sexual harassment
It lands some punches, doesn't it?
Lands punches, but it also then shows what women can do when they are put into power and how they transform that workplace once they are in control. They've got a childcare centre in there, they're job sharing. Like, it is just completely transformed. So you did a bit of research on it.
It's like, you know... Down with the patriarchy and in with the sisterhood, as it should be. But hey, did you know, Gina, that Lily, Jane and Dolly are working on a sequel to 9 to 5. And it is. It's on, they're working on it and it's supposed to be coming sometime this year, 2019. Possibly maybe next year. But essentially what it's going to do, it's going to be in the same business. It's going to be in the same office block.
No way.
And it's going to centre, the story's going to centre on three younger women who are going to track down the three older women who sort of set these changes in motion. So that's pretty exciting. So there's going to be a new cast of 9 to 5, the sequel. So, you know, that's really...
Look, the stuff they did in the film is groundbreaking. Yep. There are businesses now that haven't even caught up to the stuff that they introduced in that 80s film.
I think Jane says that. Jane Fonda says that we've gone backwards.
Yeah, we have.
It's gone backwards. You know, the workplace has gone backwards, but...
But we do love the film 9 to 5 and we want to give away these amazing double passes to some Joy members. Now, you came up with a really good suggestion on how people can win this.
Well, I think we would like to hear from our Joysters. We want to hear from you who you think should be the three stars of this new 9 to 5 sequel. And I think it should be a musical sequel to 9 to 5. And so you really have to come up with three suggestions as to who should play the Jane, Lily and Dolly Parton characters.
9 to 5, new generation. So who would you cast in the new generation of 9 to 5? Message in 0427JOY949. Email us on air at joy.org.au. You must give us your member number to go into the draw to win. What is it again?
This is a double pass to Judy Garland, the movie. It's his Australian premiere next week at the Capitol Theatre and Renee Zellweger is going to be there on the red carpet.
That's so huge.
Pretty cool. Okay, you go.
0427JOY949. Do you have a list of who you'd cast in that?
Well, I just want to give some people a bit of inspiration, a bit of a
wriggle
on. So, like for me, the all singing, all dancing musical version of 9 to 5, the sequel, would have Beyonce, Miley Cyrus and Lady Gaga. I dare anyone to come up with a better cast.
Are you allowed
than that
to win those tickets?
No.
Well, we'll see.
No.
Well, to get everyone inspired as to who they would recast in the new in the 2020 maybe version of 9 to 5, 0427JOY949. Let's give them some thinking music.
Yeah.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
It's hot in here and you are listening to Outtakes here on Joy 94.9. That was the voice of Nicole Kidman, and that was the trailer of Bombshell, which is a film hopefully, I think, hitting cinemas in December. It's rumoured to be in December of this year. It's kind of put out there as the most anticipated Hollywood Me Too film.
Mm.
That's how they're selling it, I mean, at the moment.
Stellar cast. Charlize Theron, yeah. And Margot Robbie.
And
Charlize Theron is unrecognisable as Megyn Kelly.
Well,
it's incredible.
I'll be honest, I don't actually know the Fox News story that well. I mean, yeah. It feels like there is so many stories in Hollywood that have been happening of that time.
Mm.
I know, and I invite viewers to look at the trailer. It is a sexy trailer, and it is designed to be... I think...
Why do you say it's sexy?
I
looked at it again and I must be missing something. What's making it sexy for you? Is it that the women are wearing tight-fitting, form-fitting clothes? And
for me, I know I felt immediately uncomfortable watching this trailer. I knew what it was about. I saw the log line.
Mm.
And while I don't know the actual events, I'm watching this trailer going... Wow, I'm really asked to linger on their lips and their eyes and and just the way, you know, and their form and the way they're standing. And I felt like I'm being asked to sexualize these
and objectify women.
And it's just three women standing in a lift.
Well, I found it interesting that you said they're focusing on lips and eyes.
It lingers.
Because
I
don't see those as obviously overtly sexual.
Well, go back and look at the trailer and see where it's kind of... It is a gaze between... And that is the trailer. It is 2 minutes of these women walking into a lift, standing there silently, and Nicole Kidman is the only one who breaks the air by saying it's hot in here. And this is this woman's story, and it... You know what it made me do? It made me actually go and see a little bit more about this film, and then I got more nervous.
I think what you see here in this elevator is you see that the Margot Robbie character presses number two, and as the other character, as Charlize gets in and Nicole Kidman get in, they can see that number two has already been pressed.
Oh, okay.
And they're looking amongst themselves, and there's that tension there because that's where Roger Ailes' office must be, and they're going in to see him. And so they all know what's going on because this is... So
Roger, you know more about this.
I do, because there was a miniseries starring Russell Crowe and Naomi Watts that streamed earlier on this year on one of the streaming channels. And it was fascinating. I mean, Roger Ailes, what a truly disgusting man. And, you know, the power and influence that he exerted to control and manipulate and gaslight and undermine these women, it's just out of control. It's pure evil.
Mm.
And so I think in this trailer, this is what you see. You see this. You know that there's been a culture at Fox News, and everybody knows about
it's
Roger.
Open secret.
And
everyone
it's been
talks
institutionalized.
About that kind of open secret in Hollywood. Everyone knew the secrets. Like, really, why didn't anyone do anything about this?
Yep.
And it shows that dominance and power and influence of these.
And the only reason why something happened here is because Gretchen Carlson. Her contract was terminated, and that's when she immediately. Brought Roger Ailes out, brought him to task, and very quickly, within the space of 2 months, Roger Ailes handed in his resignation as chair of Fox, and she was given a settlement of it's rumored to be $20 million.
Wow.
And so since then, she's gone on to other things, and she's written a book, and there's going to be a documentary series later on this year that Gretchen is hosting. So,
and Bombshell, they are saying like 20 December. It is looking to, you know, when Christmas is. These are the Boxing Day films that are meant to kind of take us into the cinema. So that's when it's due to be. And you know what?
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see this.
I'm going to be completely honest.
The box office, how it's going to go at that time of year.
Oh, look, with that cast, I think it's going to pull them in. I think that cast, they are amazing, strong female actresses that will easily pull a crowd.
Mm.
My first instinct was, as I told you, I felt like, oh, this is a little bit... And then I went and researched the film a little bit, and I didn't research that.
Because do we have female filmmakers working on this
Wikipedia'd
film?
I Wikipedia'd this, and it's the team behind it. So, and I want to be proven wrong when I sit down to watch this film, but I'm seeing a male director, I'm seeing a male writer, I'm seeing a male cinematographer. Most of the producers are male behind this. So when we talk about, you know, we've talked about the representation of women in cinema. Mm. Here is a film, a Me Too film. Really, that is the film that they are selling. They're making, not a popcorn film, but they are making this film. And every voice behind, it's even edited by men. So I hope that will not influence the story being told.
But you're hopeful that it's going to be told
yet again through a male gaze.
Well, we're just going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait and see. But what I also think is interesting about this film is because, of course, Fox News is a huge supporter of Donald Trump. And of course, we know just how poor Donald Trump's reputation is with women. And of course, there's all that fake news that comes along from Fox News, allegedly from Fox News. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of impact this might have, seeing as though Roger Ailes was a massive supporter and of Donald Trump, and Fox News still is. So it'll be interesting how they might bring in the Donald Trump and the political aspect into this as well. So
look, it's going to be with everything happening in politics at the moment, especially, you know, in the States, even here, but especially what's happening in the States. I think this is going to be a film that people are going to flock to. I really hope that I don't have to say, excuse me, this is why you need women behind the scenes as well as in front. You know, it's great to cast an amazing, you know, A-star actresses in front, but Jesus Christ, this is a story that needs a few women behind the scenes.
That's
like,
right.
Really? You couldn't find a female cinematographer?
Do we have a scriptwriter? Do we have any? Do we have female scriptwriters? We had nothing.
No, nothing.
Right, well, we're going to have to.
Nothing.
Going to have
and
to.
I'm sorry.
Jury's out. We're going
to
have to.
I know. Look, I will try my best to kind of watch it with an open mind, but already that trailer made me look at it again and go,
set you off.
It did set me off. But a film that doesn't do that, and we are speaking to the filmmaker later tonight, Working Women. So the Working Women was a film that played at MIFF, and as I mentioned in our opening, Working Women tells, again, it is a story of sexual harassment in the workplace. Mm-hmm. You go in knowing this. Behind the camera, there is a female director, there are female writers behind this. And immediately I identified so many aspects of this woman's story, you know, especially
so
even...
What's the story? So this is a story set in Israel, Tel Aviv.
It is. It's set in modern-day Tel Aviv,
yeah.
Right? In mm-hmm. very kind of modern-day wealthy Tel Aviv. Like, this is a different kind of wealth to some of the films that we've seen here. But it tells the story of Orna, who is the mother of three kids, probably about to start primary school to early primary school. And she's returning to the workforce because her husband's a chef and he's opened up a restaurant and it's not doing that well.
And they need money.
And
you
they
can
need
see they're
money.
Doing it tight.
They are doing it tight in this kind of modern day Tel Aviv. And she ends up getting a job and it looks to
for
be
a property
her
developer.
Property. She's got no real estate background. Yep. Property developer, and this man was her commandant or supervisor in the army. That's established really
I missed
early.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
So this man's already kind of had an authoritative kind of mentoring, father figure kind of role in her life before.
Gotcha.
And she's really excited to be given an opportunity to perform. And it's
working in sales.
Working in sales, and she does. She kind of really, goes in with this huge confidence in it. And immediately went...
So bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Bushy-tailed.
You know, jumping into the deep end.
And straight away, you know, we go in looking at it going, we know we're about... Well, I knew going in. This is
well,
a film
we knew what we were watching.
Yeah, so you kind of going, well, what are the triggers? What are the warnings? And, you know, she comes home. What does she say to her husband when he asks what are the hours and she likes? And she's already saying the hours are irregular, but the perks are great.
That's it,
you start to feel that
uneasiness. Like for me, when I was watching this film, I thought that essentially her manager, her boss, this leadership figure, he was grooming her right from the start. This was a grooming process, wasn't it? Step by step by step. And slowly the filmmaker is just ratcheting up the tension, ratcheting up the suspense, and we can see it. We can see what's happening, and we're sitting there watching Orna go through this terrible ordeal where she's constantly being put under pressure, and he's just slowly tightening up the tension, tightening the noose, and then boom.
And there is, like, early on you see he kisses her and he justifies it, he apologises, and, you know, she forgives him, but she even puts in ways of protecting herself. She distances herself physically. She makes it a safer space, even though, you know, he doesn't repeat it straight away. It's those subtleties in his language, in his behaviour towards her, in the fact that this whole office is almost complicit in rewarding him. And I don't know, it was just done. Almost felt like a horror film. We kind of talked about this.
It was, yeah.
In the build-up of this really powerful film. Look, we...
And I think I think without giving too much away, I think it really all built... It all comes to a head when they go to Paris on a sales trip.
But even how he tells her about the Paris trip, how he sets it up in front of her husband...
Oh, yeah, so it was insidious, the control. It was insidious and it was invasive and, it was just brilliant storytelling.
It was...
You knew what was going to happen and really...
You're going in knowing what's going to happen and you're surprised at every...
But I think it's safe to say that this story is not a story of victimhood, is it?
No. Not at all. And look, we are going to be speaking to the filmmaker later this evening. But before we do have some amazing prizes to give away. So I'm going to lighten us just a little bit. Thanks to Universal, earlier you heard us play the trailer to Judy, the movie. What do we have, Alan?
We have two double passes to the Australian premiere next week at the Capitol Theatre, courtesy of Universal Pictures. Renee Zellweger is actually going to be on the red carpet.
Thank you so much, Universal. We want to hear from you. 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. We want to hear your member number and we want to hear three names. What are those three names, Alan?
Well, we have got a message in from Brad from marvellous Melbourne, I might add. And Brad's three names are Natalie Portman, Angelina Jolie and Halle Berry.
Ooh.
And
we've got another message as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do you think to those picks? I think they're pretty good, don't you?
Pretty good.
Oh, look at this. I'm liking this one. And we've got one from Ricky from Thornbury. And he says, okay, after much thought, he's going to go with Miley Cyrus, Christina Aguilera and Rihanna.
And we
pretty cool.
We had a cheeky...
Not so sure about Christina, though. Oh, I'm not a fan of Christina. Was that god-awful film? What was that god-awful film that she was in?
Which one?
With Cher. Oh, God, what was it? It was that awful film.
We'll Google
Burlesque. That was bad. I mean, I think her career kind of tanked after that. But anyway, listen, you know, thanks for texting in. And I agree with the other two picks, just not Christina. Sorry.
You can message in 0427JOIN949. Tell us who you would recast in the modern version of 9 to 5, which apparently is in the process of being made.
That's right.
We want to hear your picks. We want to hear your member number so you can win that awesome prize for Universal, which is two double passes. Well, we've got two double passes to give away to the premiere of Judy Garland, the movie. Look, up next, we are going to be continuing our conversation about this wonderful film, Working Women, which is being released later this month. We'll be speaking with the filmmaker, Michael. I'm going to have to get this
Michael,
right.
Michael Abiyad. I don't know. We'll have to ask her.
Coming up after this.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are on Outtakes here on Joy 94.9, the home of queer cinema, where tonight we are looking at sexual harassment in cinema, especially as some films now are starting to look at this a little bit more closely, especially with the, you know, recent Me Too, I hate using the word movement.
Me Too, yeah.
But with proliferation of films that we're starting to see.
We are now joined on the phone with the director of Working Woman, Mikhail Aviad. I'm sorry, Mikhail, if I've pronounced your name incorrectly. Now, Working Woman is a film that was screened at MIFF earlier on this year, and it's due for release here in Australia at a broad release across Australian art house cinemas on October 10th. And so we are joined here in the studio with Mikhail Aviad for Working Woman. Welcome.
Hi, well, thank you very much. You pronounced my name fine.
Thank you very much. We do get some tongue twisters here, and often it's usually me who gets the job of pronouncing them. But this week, I'm sorry, I I'd had to do my best. So thanks, Mikhail, for joining us, and thank you for such a wonderful film. You know, a wonderful, taut, suspenseful film. But, Mikhail, I just wanted to ask you, why did you make this film, and why now?
Listen, the now changes with the time, because I started writing the film in 2012 with my two co-writers, and I had no idea the Me Too explosion was coming in 2017. And while that was coming, we were in the middle of filming. So I guess we wrote this film because it felt like this is the spirit of the time. And it's about time to look at these issues that we were totally unaware of until almost the end of the last century.
So, you know, you've written this film before the Me Too explosion occurred in the US, in Hollywood, particularly around Harvey Weinstein. So I guess
that's
then
right.
You were sort of tapping into the zeitgeist within Israel itself. Would that be fair to say? Is this a prevalent issue facing women in Israeli society?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, in Israel, like elsewhere, probably in Australia as well, there isn't a month that a politician and a police officer or television anchorman are not convicted or found out that they perform sexual harassment. So it's on the news all the time in this country, like in other countries.
I know when I watch this film, I mean, for myself as a parent who's returned to work, who has been very mindful of not being away from the workforce for too long, because I know the statistics of how that will just put me in a bad place to find work anyway. This film meant so much to me, even in that story that was being told of the character herself. I mean, she is... Orna is just an amazing woman, but for me, I had another connection to her because I understand that how you feel just going back into a workplace and almost being thankful to have a job. And it does put you in a different vulnerable place than I think other people. Was that something you were hoping to achieve?
Yes,
I didn't see it,
and it was very important to me to bring up the issue that we women need to work. I mean, in the world of 2011, most women do have to work in order to support themselves and their children. I mean, it's sort of a dream that only men work. I mean, we all work.
Yes.
We all need to work. And that's why probably you had to go back to work after having your children.
Yes.
Because that's you know...
Reality. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And was it deliberate? Yeah. I mean, the gentleman who plays her husband in this, I definitely noticed this, but I loved that we were seeing... There was not really a gender imbalance in that household because he's a chef. We see him at home equally bearing the burden of what is traditional, you know, women's work. I loved that we were seeing, and I hate to, again to use the phrase, a modern man, you know, who is equal in the household to his partner. Was that a deliberate take of that character?
I wanted really to develop and to bring up a character of a husband that is a sweet, nice husband. I don't know if they really share 50-50. I don't know if he takes responsibility over going to to teachers' meetings or whatever, parents' meetings. But it's obvious that they do things together.
Yes.
And he, you know, he is, both of them are working outside and working to at home to bring up the children. Yeah.
So here you have a woman who lives in a household where the relationship is fairly equal. This is a level playing field in terms of power and equality, and this is the environment that she's coming from.
Yes, more or less, I assume so, yes.
It's definitely how it was a nice reflection back, especially with the new world that she's about to enter. Now, this film is set in contemporary Tel Aviv, but I could see this film set anywhere. This is a story that could play out in any country. And for me, the only nuance is Benny. So Benny was her superior in the army. Is that correct?
Yes, he was. She barely remembers it. He barely remembers it. But they know. They do remember that she was. He was. He wasn't her direct superior, but he knows that when she was in the army, she was a very good worker, very good secretary, very good office manager, and that gives him the hands that she'll do well, although she doesn't have any experience in real estate.
I guess with that. With the fact that national service is compulsory in Israel, do we find that women are in that position a lot in Israeli society, where they will transition out of the armed forces and into business, where they'll be in that same power hierarchy?
Listen, in the Israeli army, first of all, 50% of the women, of the Israeli women, go into the army, 50%. Second, most women who do their army service, if they didn't know that men and women are not equal, they will learn it in the army, because most women in the army do office work and make coffee. So they will learn the position of women in society, that's for sure.
I wouldn't put
any kind of heroism into the relationship between women and men in the Israeli army.
Oh, okay.
I really won't. I mean, it's a myth, frankly.
I know. Ellen and I, when we watched this film and we were talking off air, we both, I mean, the subtlety and the beautiful slowness in how this story builds, it almost felt to us, I was saying horror tropes, you know, that kind of, when, especially when she gives her child medicine so that she can go to work, you know, and it's almost like the punishment for, you know, not staying home, and what we kind of tell women, you know, no, you should stay home and take care of your children. We were feeling that thriller suspense. We knew the story we were about to learn, but we kept being surprised. Was that a deliberate technique you were kind of building into the story? And I'm surprised that horror comes to mind when we talk to that.
Yeah, the truth is that I was surprised that horror came to mind too, in the sense that, you know, when I was interviewed about this film, the interviewers asked me how, if I can give the formula for making a horror film. I have no idea how to make a horror film. So, you know. But I did think about, you know, in romantic comedies in cinema, we always, I mean, she and he meet in the first scene, and we know that they're going to kiss at the last one, or fall in love or something. But we don't know how it's going to happen, and that's what keeps us on our toes.
Mm.
And what we try to do sort of a romantic comedy just, you know, upside down. We know from the beginning what will happen, but we have no idea how it will happen and when it will happen, and therefore we are all the time surprised.
Well, without a doubt, Michal, I think it was still a shock, even though we suspected what was going to happen, that there had to be a culmination of this dysfunctional, you know, power, you know, this dysfunctional relationship that
it needed
that
to
existed.
Come to a head.
It we actually had getting, to come to a head, and so look, I must admit that, you know, I was. I really didn't want to see it. Gina and I both talked about it. We didn't want to see it. That's where the horror aspect came into it.
But we knew it had to be shown.
Yeah, it had to be shed. And then I guess, you know, how you resolved this film, how do we redeem this woman, and how do we ensure that that her manager receives his just desserts?
How do you feel, audience? Yeah, no, go to that. Talk to that there, Mika.
Okay, so there are two, you know, first of all, the most wonderful reactions I received from men was, wow, this is the first time I understand what women film in these kind of situations.
Mm.
And from women, I again and again, you know, tons of letters are written to me, I mean, mails and WhatsApp and whatever, Facebook stuff, about, and women say again and again, wow, this is exactly what happened to me. Now, we know statistically that it happens a lot. Mm. I mean, and most of the time, between 86% to 93%, according to UN statistics, of women do not complain. So most women just deal with it, basically low their head and go on with life, because you still have to earn a living, you still have to feed the children, you still have to live.
Mm.
So many, many women go through this kind of ordeal and just, you know, do nothing about it, because maybe that's the best way to go on with life for them. Very few are the Me Too women who come up, who are rich and famous and news making, and can go and can, you know, after tons of years come up and say Harvey Weinstein is a horrible villain. You know, this is not the norm. The norm is to you know, to do nothing, to go on,
I think that's the power of this film. It is the subtleness in showing those moments where, you know, people say, why didn't you leave, and, you know, didn't you have power to leave and change it, and the subtlety in taking us into this woman's shoes. And, you know, no wonder you're getting responses from men and from women going, thank you for showing that, because you really do keep us in her point of view. You really do take us on that journey. You know, we're looking for alarm bells, but we can almost justify every alarm bell that we see early on. Before we kind of let you go, the ending for me was satisfying, because you didn't tie up all the loose ends. And I love it when filmmakers don't tie up all the loose ends.
Thank you.
I think it's important to let the audience kind of create that narrative. But was that an easy decision to make? Because there are so many unanswered questions in the end of your film.
Yes, you know, I mean, I knew that I wanted a bittersweet ending, and I knew I wanted to be somewhat open-ended. And then when I came and showed it, let's say in the United States, people in the audience would say to me things that at first were so bizarre to me. They would say things like, so why didn't she burn down this tower project? You know? And frankly, you know, I thought to myself, oh, she just didn't think about it. but this is exactly, you know, what Hollywood films do.
Yes.
I mean, they give us this amazing ending that has nothing to do with reality. And I was trying to keep as close as possible to reality. And reality is more complex than a happy ending.
Yes.
Totally agree.
And this is what makes this film so satisfying. And we don't want to spoil it for the audience that will be watching it. We are very excited that it is getting a release here in October 10th. What is the thing you want people to go away with watching this film? Remember, you're in Australia, not in Hollywood, so we'll have a bit more of it. You know, nobody's going to want that Hollywood.
Yeah.
What is that thing you want an audience to take away from watching this film?
Frankly, I mean, what I really think that we desperately need is a major change in the consciousness and in the culture we live in. I mean, we really need to raise our boys and our girls in ways that won't make us women feel always guilty when we're sexually harassed, and won't make men blame us, like what happens in the film. Because I mean, we are raised to feel guilty. We learn from our mothers and our fathers that we must be guilty, that we probably did something wrong. And men are raised exactly, you know, to really blame us. And if we can say, I mean, what we really need, a major shift in the culture we live in, so we can really look each other in the eye and build a better society in which we are all human beings.
Well, I really, truly wish that comes to pass, and I think that's an excellent sentiment, and I really do hope that's what people walk away from this film thinking and feeling.
It's, you know, and it is there are moments of this film that are difficult to watch, but we shouldn't be turning our eyes from watching these stories. We need to be hearing these stories, and you've done it so very well with your film. Thank you so much for this film. We look forward to hearing from audiences that watch it. We look forward to what is next from you as well. And we will let you go. It is Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Enjoy apples dipped in honey for a sweet New Year, as you've taught me. So thank you so much for joining us tonight on Outtakes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are here on Outtakes on Joy 94.9. I'm so sorry, Alan. I just kind of pointed at you and you're like looking at me going,
okay, Gina, we're back on it. Who's going to back announce that? who's bringing us in?
So that was the very wonderful Mikhail Aviad speaking from Tel Aviv about the wonderful film Working Women. So it is an Israeli film. It will be in
cinemas from October. From the 10th of October. So that's Thursday week, I think. And getting a broad, fairly broad release across arthouse cinemas across Australia.
I really was surprised going in watching that film going, how do I, you know, it's not, you know, it is such an important film.
I think it is an important film, and I'd encourage people to watch this film. And, you know, as Michael, as the director was saying, she said one of the most powerful things that she's had from people viewing the film is having the feedback from men. And from men not really understanding the position that women are in when they are faced with this kind of harassment in the workplace. And often, as you said before, it can start very subtly, are being groomed, and it's just one small thing after another. And sometimes you can sort of see why people might question themselves. Is this really happening?
Yeah.
Did I really see that? Did I really hear that? Is it all in my mind? And so it then starts to become this sort of psychological game that's going on.
And even the narrative when she talks about this harassment with her husband. And I was screaming at the screen going, no, tell him this is what happened.
Different
words, but even the words she used herself to articulate it. This is a really important film.
Oh, my God, I was exactly the same.
Yeah, no, I was getting angry going, no, defend yourself, woman.
And this is it.
You're a mother, you're strong.
If you have been the subject of sexual harassment, it's so difficult to express yourself and to seek help.
It is an important film. Yeah. I really hope people go and see it, but we have been trying to give away some amazing double passes tonight. We have winners, Alan.
We have two winners, and we have. Remember how we had one of our listeners texted in and said that they thought that the cast to 9 to 5, the sequel, the musical cast of 9 to 5, the sequel, should be Miley Cyrus, Christina Aguilera, and Rihanna. Well, and we sort of poo-pooed Christina Aguilera. So
Ricky came back
and said, right, that's okay, let's dump Christina and go for Jessica Mowboy. So thumbs up for that one, Ricky. And for that, Ricky, you do get a double pass. And so too does Brad from Marvellous Melbourne. So thanks, Ricky, and thanks, Brad.
You have been listening to Outtakes.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.